weapons of our arsenal in this spiritual warfare. Coming to the throne of grace to praise our Heavenly Father and present our petitions to Him, knowing that He who created all we see in 6 days, He who keeps the planets and their courses, He who has given us that rain that we needed today, He who does all these things is fully able and capable to answer that prayer. He is all sovereign. He is all powerful. And after accepting the gift of the blood of His only begotten Son as payment for our sins and adopting us as His children, He is then pleased to give us the answer to those prayers. Certainly, with His promises, with His love, His power, every single prayer that we give in front of Him will be answered. The modern church says He has to. It's His job. He's up there just waiting to answer our prayers. That's all He does. And yet, there are times when we'll be in our prayer closet. We'll pray and pray and pray and continue to pray. And it seems like the prayers are hitting the ceiling and bouncing right back to us. Anyone ever have that problem? We serve an all-powerful God. We are called to His throne of grace. We come expecting an answer. How many of you pray and expect that God's not going to answer my prayer? If you do, you're really wasting your time. We come expecting an answer. Is God so callous that He would call us to His throne of grace, promise an answer, and say, no, I'm not going to answer you? Answering no is an answer. But to just ignore us, is He really that callous? God forbid. But why does He sometimes ignore our prayers? It says in the Bible, why? We need to look at that and determine why prayers are sometimes not answered. And knowing this, seeing the traps that we fall into, seeing how we can then approach God in such a way that He'd be pleased to give us the answer to our prayers. Now you look at today's verses, Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 25. Turn there if you would. We opened up with verses 1 to 15, the commonly called Lord's Prayer, showing how to pray to God. And we close this long section on prayer now, 6 weeks later, with other extremely powerful verses that will teach us how to make God answer our prayers in such a way that we'll be able to serve Him and get the joy from those prayers. So, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Dear Heavenly Father, we serve a loving God. As those of us who have accepted the blood of Christ as just payment for our sins, have been declared righteous by the blood of Christ, have repented of our sins and vowed to serve You forevermore, You have adopted us as sons, as daughters, as true children of God. And Lord, we know that You're a loving Father, a just Father, a wise Father. And You will answer our prayers because You have promised it and You've given us reasons to. And Lord, we look today at why sometimes it seems like our prayers hit the ceilings. Sometimes You seem to not listen to us. Sometimes it just seems like we are spinning our wheels. And Lord, we know from Your word that when that happens, it's our fault. And Lord, let us today look at Your word and determine what may be causing us to have problems in our prayer life. What may be causing us to lose the joy that You so intend for us. what may be causing us to not receive the answers that we may serve you all the better and receive your joy. And Lord, let us repent of the problems that we may have, and let us turn to you and worship you truly as a holy God in spirit and truth. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Now, in these verses, we see many reasons why prayers are not answered. You're looking at a focus on this life instead of asking for the things that will prepare you for the next life. Are you trusting in God to provide your needs? Or assuming your Heavenly Father is going to ignore you and will not answer? Or even worse, that your Heavenly Father cannot answer? The answer to effective prayer is in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you pray to enhance your life in this world, to ignore the next, and you pray that I can continue in my sinful ways, I continue to satisfy the flesh, I can continue to do the things I want and not to serve you, don't expect God to answer you. Don't expect God to give you what you desire. Pray for what you need as an ambassador to the kingdom of God, which he's adapted you to do. He will provide for your needs. He already knows what they are, giving it to you as you need it. Why? Why doesn't he just give it to all in front? Why give me everything I need for the whole life? Because we're forgetful people. He wants to teach us to rely on him. He wants to teach us to have joy in the answers to his prayer. He wants to continually have us walk with him, relying on him and having joy in that fellowship. With this understanding, let's look at some of the reasons that your prayers may be hitting that ceiling and give you a way to open that skylight, that your prayers will get through, God will hear them, and give you the answers you so greatly desire. So the first of all, what about lack of faith? You know, if I go to him and I pray a quick prayer because the Bible says to, but I really don't expect him to answer, do you think he's going to? Well, turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. So one page over in my Bible, Matthew 7, starting in verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or, what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Look at these verses once again. King James Version is very difficult to understand, right? The words are very clear. He might answer you. He might give you something. It's possible. No, it says he shall give them to you. You ask in faith for doing what he wants you to do in his will, he will answer and he will provide what you need. Now, maybe not in your timing. Maybe not exactly when you want it. He may take you right to the edge and then answer your prayer. He's done that to me before. But he will answer. If you doubt his ability or his desire to answer, guess what? He's not going to give it to you because he's going to teach you to rely on him. James 4:2 says, we have not because we ask not. We ask not because we don't think we need God. We ask not because he doesn't understand just how bad my situation is. He can't answer this prayer. I'm far too far gone. We ask not because we understand the ways of the world. We understand how to bring the modern church and the modern people into the modern church. And we understand these things. We don't need those old-fashioned ways of the Bible because they don't work anymore. Pray that way, he's not going to answer. Ask not, have not. Luke 18:8 asks, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? In Matthew 17, the demons tried to cast out a demon, and they couldn't because of unbelief is what God said, what Jesus said, excuse me. Jesus answered in verses 20 to 21, said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain and nothing would be impossible to you. This is tiny faith. Anyone ever seen a mustard seed? You can almost see it if you have one in your hand. You look at it, you're not sure what it is. It's that tiny. If you have that much faith, I can move Mount Sunapee right to here if it was God's will, and it would happen. You want to move any mountains? Have that kind of faith. And then watch it go. All through Scripture, we see in faith, God will answer prayer. Not might, not maybe, but will answer prayer. Now the question is, what kind of faith, and how do you show it? And we talked yesterday in the men's prayer breakfast about a 73 vet. Now Tom wasn't there; it'd be a 58 Chevy if Tom was there. I have faith. God is going to give me that vet. Not there. That's not the kind of faith we're talking about. What kind of faith are we talking about? Well, you have to ask in God's will. Paul prayed three times, that the thorn in his flesh would be removed. Then he accepted God's answer that thorn was needful for him. He had to have it. He accepted it. It was answered. The answer was no. And he accepted that answer. 2 Corinthians 12, 7-9 shows why. Without it, Paul had a great calling, an incredible calling. Wrote 13 books of the Bible, established the Gentile church, what became the greatest preacher of all time. You think maybe that might have affected his pride just a little bit? God gave him that thorn in the flesh to make sure that he would not be exalted above measure. Verse 9 reminded him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." It was God's will to give him a constant reminder that he had to rely on Jesus Christ to accomplish his call. If he started relying on himself, he would fail. So, the prayer was answered. The prayer was no, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And Paul accepted that because he realized it was God's will. Now, we may think we may have a better idea. God's ways are higher than our ways. Jesus showed us how to pray in difficult situations. In Matthew 26, 38 through 44, he prayed 3 times. That the cup that he was about to drink might pass. That if there is any other way, please, Lord, let that happen. Luke says he prayed so much, blood came from his forehead. Has anyone ever prayed that hard? I haven't. It shows how hard Jesus Christ was praying. He didn't want to face a separation from his heavenly Father that he'd never done before, and he was fearful of that. I can't understand that. That's Jesus Christ. That's God. I can't understand that. But it shows he had to pray 3 times for that. But then each time, he basically said, "Not my will, but thine." Jesus showed us by praying in his will to be done in our lives, God's grace would strengthen us. The angels came and succored him and said, helped him. God gave him the grace to go through it. Now, you might have difficult situations. Trust me. No situation you will ever face was as hard as what Jesus Christ would face. And he said, "Not my will, but thine." And he did it for you. He did it for me. And he did so because we needed it. Situations you're going through, God's grace is sufficient for you. Pray in his will, and God will give you the grace. I've said many times. Now, when the election's coming up, a few years down the road, I don't know. We may start getting martyred again. I don't know. We see the world kind of spinning out of control. Pray for strength, and God will give you the grace to go through whatever you need to go through. In verse 41, he said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus in his flesh asked for a different way. He accepted God's will, his heavenly Father's will, as his will. By his sacrifice of weak flesh, we now have quickened spirits. We now can approach God because of the sacrifice he made. And his will being done, we now can be adopted as true sons and daughters. If we pray to stay out of God's will, we will not have God's grace, and our flesh will fail because it is weak. So, we see that if you're going to have faith, you have to have the right kind of faith. Pray in God's will. Pray that God's will be done in your life. And you do that by abiding in Christ. If you're not abiding in Christ, again, your prayers won't be answered. Turn over to John chapter 15, verses 4 to 14. So, John 15, starting in verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Important word there, starting in verse 7. It says, if. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Abiding in Christ is to walk with Christ. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? If we abide in Christ and he in us, we are agreed. His will is our will. We are doing what he wants us to do. We abide in him because we love him. Loving him, we keep his commandments. To keep his commandments, we need to know his commandments. To know them, we must be taught them. Now, if I go down the road here, I have no idea what the speed limit is because I haven't paid attention, and I'm doing 75 miles an hour. Policeman pulls me over, says, you broke the law. I didn't know. You have to let me go. How much of a ticket do you think I'm going to get? God's way is the same way. We have to know his commandments. He demands we keep them. To keep them, we have to study them. We have to know them. Jesus said, they're his commandments. He is the word of John 1:1. To learn of him, read his word, the Bible. Learning of him, we then lovingly work for him. Learning of him, we become more like him. As we become more like him, we abide in him, and he produces fruit in us as he abides in us. Do you want your prayers answered? Abide in Christ. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Why would he not? Because if you abide in Jesus Christ, your will is his will. If your will is his will, you will ask what he for what he wants to give you. Why would he not then give to you what he wants to give you? He wants you to produce fruit, to glorify him. As you do so, he will provide what you need to do exactly that. Churches today have no power, as they do not use the Bible. Thereby, they can't keep his commandments. They do not abide in Christ, therefore they do not produce fruit, and they do not see the glorious answers to prayer that this country used to. So, if you abide in Christ, you must agree with Christ. You must trust Christ, you must serve Christ. Brings up one that's kind of surprising. If you're not praying in Jesus' name, you may not get your prayers answered. God ordains way of redemption is through the blood of Jesus Christ. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. As he is the only way, he is the mediator between sinful man and holy God. We deserve nothing. I deserve absolutely nothing. I can stand in front of a holy God, right, declared righteous, because I put the wages I've earned, the wages of sin is death, I put those on the cross. I accepted his blood as sacrifice for my sins. He accepted that as righteousness as I put my faith there, and then declares me righteous. That is the only way I can approach him. Recognizing this fact, he is pleased to answer us as we glorify and worship him by following his ways. And John 15:6 closes with this. Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. That's good enough for me. Praying in Jesus' name recognizes God's will, God's sovereignty, God's power. He declares us righteous only if we follow his ways. We hear all the time, there are many ways to God. No, there's one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Teaching us we cannot approach a holy God in our sinful flesh. Unworthy, I need to be covered by his blood and have my sins permanently washed away. With such faith, he then adopts us as sons, and then gives us the desires of our heart. Thinking we can come apart from Christ says we are worthy on our own. Word of faith, prosperity gospel, health and wealth, all those say basically that same thing. Again, God has to answer our prayers. It's his job, right? The only answer they will receive from God, if they come on that basis, is his condemnation and his wrath. So, another one, an obvious one. Skylight closed, and your prayer hit the ceiling, regard iniquity in your heart. If you have sin in your life and you do not confess it, God will not hear your prayers. Now, if a child constantly disobeys his parents and mocks them when talking to others, consistently showing he wants nothing to do with those who brought him into the world, when he then comes to his father and asks for a new car, how likely do you think the check is going to get written for that car? Should we expect something different if we show the same contempt for a heavenly Father who brought us into his kingdom by the sacrifice of his own dear son and adopted us? David tells us in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah 59:2 adds this, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Sin is darkness that comes from avoiding his spiritual light. John 1:6 informs us, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So, if you are regarding iniquity in your heart right now, and your prayers are hitting the ceiling and coming back right to you, there's a simple solution. Stop! Go to God, ask for forgiveness, ask him to show what you've done wrong, and repent of it, and then you're no longer regarding iniquity in your heart. And then that sky will be open, and God will answer it. Pray of David's Psalm of 139, Psalm 139, 24, 23 to 24, excuse me, and ask him to search you, know your heart and thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in you, and then lead you in the way everlasting. God will show you those things. God will let you repent, and he'll open that skylight right back open, and will hear your prayers again. So now, we see all this. I'm still waiting for that 73 vet. Brings me to the next point, praying with the wrong motives. Turn to James chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. If I pray for a 73 vet and I get a 58 Chevy, I'm really going to be disappointed. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Abiding in Christ means to ask and receive that which will allow you to serve him in spirit and in truth, not chasing the fleeting happiness that might make our flesh just a little more satisfied in this particular life. Our flesh is just like the two-year-old that wants what he wants, and he wants it now, and he'll scream and whine until he gets it. If we are acting like a spoiled brat with our prayers, God will hold back that answer to teach us how to mature, how to become mature Christians. You know, when our two-year-old has a temper tantrum, we don't give in to it, because then he'll learn how to give more temper tantrums. If we ask amiss, God will not answer the prayer, because he wants to teach us how to pray right. Living in the flesh makes us look out for number one, self-love, self-esteem, self-actualization. There's so many selves out there in the psychological world, it's not funny. With such an attitude of the flesh, we see why the flesh prays to keep it happy. I want what I want, and I want it now, because it'll make me happy. Happiness is very fleeting. You have it, and right away you want something else. Now, even selfishness in marriage can hinder our prayers. 1 Peter 3:7 tells husbands to honor the wife and give honor to her as the weaker vessel, as heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We need to look to make sure the one another's are taken care of. That's the way Jesus operates. That's the way God wants us to operate. Once again, we look at praying for one another and helping one another. Do you want to walk in the light and have God answer your prayers? Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 to 11, will show you how. Isaiah 58, starting in verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall bring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. If all your prayers center on self, you won't have that joy. All you're doing is trying to increase your own lot. Now, do I want a 73 vet, or do I want the rewards there? Trust me, those will bring eternal joy. Those will be satisfied. Anything else will not. If you only lust for what the flesh wants and ignore the spirit, Proverbs 21:13 reminds you that if you stop your ears to cry at the poor, you will cry yourself and not be heard. Ensure you look at others as you abide in Christ, and he will open up that skylight. He will hear your prayers, and he will give you the answers because you are abiding in him and doing what he wants out of you. Once again, Christianity is one another. The world is self. We need to learn to abide in Christ and do that. Persistence is another one. We've already covered this. God answers yes, no, or wait. If he answers wait, continue to pray until you get the answer. Jesus and Paul both prayed three times before the prayers were answered, and then God gave them the grace that was sufficient for them. They needed so much grace that God made them pray more. Jesus prayed for an example for us. God may have us wait for many reasons. Maybe it's to study more for wisdom from his word, that we may have more understanding. Maybe it's to receive counsel from others. He wants us to rely on each other. He wants iron sharpened iron. I pray, I'm not getting the answer that I think I need. Maybe I'll go to Tom, maybe I'll go to Doug, maybe I'll go to someone else and ask, what do you think about this? Maybe that's why God's waiting. Or maybe it's to teach us to rely on him. Let us pray till we have that answer and then thank him for that answer. God will hold back his answers to teach us how to be mature Christians. Now, if we've done something to close that skylight, pray to God to examine us that he may open it by our repentance and give us the answer, and keep praying with persistence until you get that answer. If you're not getting an answer at all, if the words keep bouncing back and hitting you at the top of the head, look at those verses. Go today and look and meditate on these verses and see if that's the problem. I don't know what any of your problems are. I have no idea, but God does. If you do that, meditate on these words, meditate on these verses, God will show you the answer of why you're not getting the answers to prayer you think you need. So as we see, there are many reasons that prayers may not be answered. Proper focus provides proper answers. What's the focus? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then will all these things be added unto you. Because you are asking God for what he wants to give you, and he will be pleased to do it, and you'll be abiding in him, and him in you, producing much fruit for his glory and receiving his joy. Learn by his word, you will be desired to please him. With that desire, he will give you the desires of your heart, because that's what his desire is, to have you please him, and then to give you what you need so you can do that. Do not worry about things in the flesh. Accomplish his call on your spirit and your petitions for what you need in front of God. He already knows what you need. He knows that you need food. He knows you need raiment. He knows you need things. He knows everything you need to accomplish his will. He wants you to ask so you rely on him and realize that he is the one providing those things. If God can feed the fowls and clothe the grass, do you think he will not take care of those that he's adopted as true sons and daughters, O ye of little faith? Have faith, seek and do his will, abide in Christ, pray in his name to show he is our mediator, avoid sin and be persistent with the right motives as you praise and honor him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That skylight will remain open. He might break it, so it's permanent. God will hear you. He will answer your prayers, and you will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. With that, I don't have a... You took it away from me.
Kathy's.
Isn't that God will not answer prayers quite often is to teach us, to draw us back to Him. I recommend all of you look at these verses. There are times I'm not doing some of these things right. And it feels like my prayers are hitting the ceiling and I need to go back to the Word and figure out why. And I realize it's my fault, not His. It's always our fault if He doesn't answer. He will not answer prayers sometimes to teach you, to draw you back. Look in the Word. Figure out why. Am I doing it wrong? If I'm doing it wrong, ask Him for wisdom. God says He'll give it to you. Ask Him to examine your heart. He'll show you where you're falling short. And then repent in Him, and He'll be pleased to give you whatever you ask, because then you are asking in His will to do His will and to do things that will make sure that it's done. It may not be what you want. I may need a car to go somewhere because God wants me to go all over New Hampshire. It may not be a 73 Vet, it may be a Yugo, but it gets me where I need to go. And He will provide what we need, not necessarily what we want, but He will give us the joy in knowing that we are producing fruit for Him, that we are doing His will, and we are abiding in Him, and He in us, and there is no greater joy than that. So as we go to prayer today, ask God, I've been praying. My prayers have been hitting the ceiling, and I don't know why. Lord, show me. Or maybe you've been praying well, and you've been getting all your prayers answered because you're doing it right. In that case, ask God to continue to give you that grace. Ask God to hold you in that position and give God the glory for any fruit that's been produced by you for His glory. And then, if anybody here has never been saved, never accepted that free gift, you're not declared righteous. You are not a son of God. You are in a different family together that says in the Bible that Satan is your father. He won't answer your prayers because you're not in his family. Make that decision today. As we close in prayer, please make that decision. Come to me, and I'll show you exactly how in the Bible. It's not my way. It's His way. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And He says exactly how to do it in the Bible. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will close, and then go enjoy the bounty that God has given us. So as pray to yourself as Rich plays one verse, and then I'll close this. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to your throne of grace, to know that as one of 8 billion people on this earth, you are listening to me, and you will consider my prayers, and you will answer them, Lord, if I do it in the right way, in the right spirit, to serve you. Lord, that is truly joy unspeakable and full of glory, to think that the Creator of all heaven and earth, the one who sets the planets in motion, the one who makes the seasons year in and year out work, Lord, you are such a great and magnificent God. And yet, you care for the poor race of Adam, that you have redeemed from their sin, that you have adopted as sons and daughters, and are pleased to not only hear our prayers, Lord, but answer our prayers, and to teach us how to pray correctly, that we may receive your joy, and we may produce fruit for your glory. Lord, there are sometimes I do pray, and when my prayers hit the ceiling, they bounce right back to me, and I look at your word and I realize why. It's because I failed in some way, and you do that for grace to teach me. And Lord, I'm sure that's true with everybody here. Let us, Lord, not get frustrated when we don't see the answers to prayer, but let us go to your word and determine what you are trying to tell us, what you are trying to teach us, repent of whatever fault we have, that skylight may be open and you may fill us with your glory once again, that we may produce fruit, that we may receive your joy, and that we may know that your grace is sufficient for us in wherever we go. Lord, as we go out today, let us know that you are with us. Wherever we go, you are there already. Let us go now to eat as brethren, sharing the joy of knowing that where two or three are gathered in your name, we will ask whatever it is that we need, and you will hear us and answer us. And Lord, let us always glorify your name, glorify your Son, glorify the gift of the cross of Jesus on the cross that shed his blood for our sins. And if there's anybody here who has not accepted that gift, let the day be the day of salvation. We ask all of your precious Son's dear name. Amen.